Turn your Bibles, please, to the book of James, chapter number 4. We'll start there. I meant to start with a single verse in Psalms, and then move to the book of James, chapter 4. But we'll begin here and stay here mostly, and then I'll call your attention to a verse in the Psalm in just a moment. The Word of God says, James 4 and verse 14, "Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." So there is our life span. It's very, very short, measured next to eternity. Everybody here has got their own lifetime movie. It's going on, and you're the star of the show, and it's all being unveiled in front of the God with whom the Bible says we will have to do. So there's our life span, and James tells us it's fragile and it's short. Psalm 14 in verse 1 is a verse I want to interject into this before we expound this passage. "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." Now, I don't know how many times in my ministry I have thought about that verse and I have referred to it. And in my mind, I've always thought about the atheist, and I may have said this a couple of weeks ago, I'm not sure. We have those that deny the existence of God. But this verse says, the fool says this in his heart. He doesn't necessarily say it with his mouth, but in his heart, he lives as if there is no God. It made me think of a practical atheist. You know, not a person that would ever deny the existence of God, but someone who does things or lives life like there is no God. And I wondered as I thought about this text, how many of us sometimes live without really acknowledging or being aware of that we are doing everything we do in the presence of God. Do we say in our heart that there is no God? Let me show you what I mean. In James chapter 4, I think that he gives us a wonderful description of a person who lives like this. There's no evidence that he ever said that there is no God. But when you look at his life, he lives it as if there is no God. And I'll get right to it and show you. First of all, the text reveals in James 4 an arrogant man. His arrogance is on display here. He is a man that always thought he knew what was going on in his life. He thought he knew when he was going certain places. And the text reveals this in verse 13. He says, "Come now," and as I've told you before, the word "come now," that's an expression. It means listen up. You know, everybody pay close attention. I want to show you something. And he's specifically targeting those people that say in their hearts or live as if there is no God, because he says, "Listen closely, you who say today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and do this or that." He's picturing a man that believes he's kind of the captain of his own fate. He knows where he's going. He makes his plans without any prayer. That's one way we can say in our heart that there's no God, when we simply don't ask God about our plans. He's making plans and doing things, but as the text will reveal in a moment, he's really, he doesn't consult God about the direction of his life. He says, "I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. I'll do it today or tomorrow." He's got a real cavalier attitude. He doesn't understand the fragility or the brevity of life. So he just meanders on through life, doing as he pleases. He has plans, but he doesn't pray. Do you make plans and not pray about them? You stop and to pray about the plans you have? Isn't that one way we say in our heart there's no God, when we don't stop and ask God, "Lord, what do you think about this? Here are my plans. Here's what I'd like to do. Is this okay with you?" When we don't pray about our plans, to me, we're saying in our heart, we're not really aware of the seriousness of God's ownership of our lives. So his arrogance is revealed by making plans without prayers. The second way you notice him, he has direction, but he has no discernment in his life. He thought he knew where he was going. He thought he knew what he wanted to go, when he wanted to go, and I'll do it today, I'll do it tomorrow. Picture a little bit of procrastination is kind of seen there. You know, what I got to do, I can do it, you know, most any time. He thought he knew where he was going, so he makes his plans, he says, to go into a certain city. He's got it all mapped out. He's got it all figured out. This is where I'm going to go, and this is what I'm going to do. He has direction, but he doesn't have discernment because he doesn't consult God. He thought he knew what he would do when he gets there, wherever it is that he's going. Notice the next. He thought he knew who he was going with him, as the text reveals. Come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go to such a city and we'll do this or that. Now, here's the thing. Anytime our plans are not prayed over, anytime we map out a direction without God's discernment, every single time we do that, we'll usually take somebody down that path with us. Somebody else is going to go with him. He's connected with other people. His life has influence over someone, and they're both, or more than one, is kind of living life this way, kind of an arrogant life without really considering God in what they're doing. No direction, no discernment. He's got goals without God. Notice the next verse. He thought he knew what he was going to be doing. We will go into such a city and spend a year. We'll buy and sell and make a profit. He's all about the material world. I'm going to go. We're going to go. I'm going to go today, tomorrow, whenever. But we're going to do this and we're going to do that. We're going to buy this. We're going to sell that. And we're going to make a profit. And there's nothing wrong with doing that. There's nothing wrong with saying, hey, this is what I got to do this week, and this is where I got to go, this is what I got to do when I get there, and this is who's going with me, and this is what I hope to happen, and I believe there's good money in this or that, if that's your business. Nothing wrong with that, but the text reveals in a few moments that this man is completely oblivious to the fact that James said his life was passing by. He didn't even know if he was going to be here tomorrow, and so he's living an arrogant life. He's got a lifestyle without the Lord. Notice what James calls him out on. He says, he says he thought he knew how long he would be there. He knows it all. Next verse. We would go to such a city and we'll spend a year there. Buy, sell, and make a profit. So he's going to spend a year. Next verse. Instead, you ought to say, this is the real catch right here. This is where the man is rebuked. This is why I say he's showing us a man that is living life without being connected to the God of his life, and he's completely unaware if God's going to allow him to do any of these things or if he's even going to be here today or tomorrow. James says, this is what you ought to say. If the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. And see how easy it is to offend the Lord right here with when we try to run life our own way. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. This person's going with me. This person's not going with me. This is what I'm going to do when I get there. This is how long I'm going to stay. All of these plans, all of these things, but there's no real time spent with God about the direction of our lives. And he said, that's evil. That's wrong. Because remember, he's told us your life is really short compared to eternity. The lifespan, your lifetime on this earth is very, very limited. And so don't live like a fool in your heart by doing things without asking God. He mentioned in there, it says, buying and selling. You know what I've noticed about mistakes I've made in my own life? Made a lot of them in a lot of different ways. But have you ever not prayed over something that you were going to buy? You know, you said, you know, this is what I want. I'm going to buy this. And so you just decided you're going to buy it. And then later on, you got to thinking, you know, I didn't really pray about that. And sometimes, at least in my case, a lot of times when I really don't consult the Lord about buying or selling, I can get myself in trouble like that. And I think a lot of us have probably gotten ourselves into a lot of trouble by not asking the Lord about what we buy, what we sell. I think some of the biggest pressure on people today is financial stress, financial difficulty. And it's not stopping to cover your plans in prayer. So this guy's got an arrogant kind of way of living life. He's got his plans, but he doesn't pray. He's got direction, but he has no discernment because he hasn't prayed. He just does what he wants to do because he's obviously a successful man. He's a talented man, probably has a strong personality. We'd probably call him an alpha male. You know, he knows what he wants to do. He knows how to do it, and he's probably had a lot of success at it. But he reminds me of the rich man Jesus talked about that, you know, where he was bragging on, I'm going to tear this barn down, I'm going to build new ones, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. And Jesus said, wait a minute, you're a fool. You don't know. I've got your birthday right here, and lo and behold, today's your death day. You know, this night, I'm requiring your soul. And that's the way the book of life is. I didn't say the Lamb's book of life, but the book of life. God's got all your members recorded in a book. He's got your brown hair and your blue eyes or your brown eyes. He's got all of that. He knows you. He's got your DNA. He's got every bit of it in a book. He's got your birth date and he's got your death date. He knows exactly when it's going to happen. We don't know when it's going to happen. We don't know how close we are to that. But we do know this from the Word of God. He said it's like a vapor. It's here today, but it goes real, real quick. And most of us get a little older and we kind of see how fast life is passing by. And so it is an arrogant way to live when we live our lives without making plans by praying, direction with discernment, goals that include God in our life. This man had the heart of a fool. Probably didn't say with his mouth there is no God, but all of his actions were lived as if there's no God. Wasn't any God to consult or to do. So that's the thought there. Arrogance. I heard about a friend, you know, I think I told you this one time. Oh, this man says, he tried to tell his friend, he said, where are you going? He said, I'm going to go sell this old mule. He said, you don't need to sell that mule today. That's a bad day for that. He said, but I'm telling you, he said, this is going to come up a terrible storm in a minute. He was cutting across his farm to go and sell it to a neighboring farm. He said, I'm going to go do what I want to do. He said, well, I just believe you ought to pray about it. I don't need to pray about it. This man wants to buy the mule. I'm going to go sell the mule. And so he travels across there, and he comes to this farm, and he said, first of all, the guy tells him, he said, you ought to say, if the Lord's will, I'm going to sell. He's actually trading for a mule for another mule, you know. So he goes, he takes his mule over there, and the guy says, you ought to say, if the Lord's will, you'll do that. Okay, whatever. So he goes on, so he makes a transaction. He's coming across, and that storm, man, it kicks up and said it's terrible. And the mule falls down and actually just about fell on the farmer and about half killed him. And his neighbor went out there and tried to get him and got the mule up and tried to help his friend up and said, now where are you going? He said, well, I'm going to go home if the Lord's will. Sometimes we have to learn the hard way that, you know, it is really the Lord's will if we do this or not. So it's when we live arrogantly, and God calls the life that's not, the plans that aren't prayed about, the direction that has no discernment, goals that don't include God, God sees that as an arrogant life. He said all such boasting is evil. And to live like that shows a heart of a fool, though we wouldn't say it with our mouths. Second thing about this, it's an ignorant way to live. It's not only an arrogant way, but it's ignorant. Now, I don't believe this man was ignorant on a lot of scales. I get the feeling he had a lot of good business sense and was probably successful in a lot of ways. But he was ignorant about something that's very important, just as you and I are. And verse 14 reveals that. You do not know what's going to happen tomorrow. The reason God needs to be in your plans, needs to be prayed about, and you need the discernment of God, and you want your goals to include God and what He wants by saying, if this is the Lord's will, not my will, but thine be done. The reason you want that is because you really don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You know, I've had plans interrupted before, and I thought, you know, this, I really wanted to do this, and something happened, it was interrupted. But I've learned to say, you know, maybe God, and there's no maybe that God knew. God knew there was some reason why that wasn't supposed to happen that way. So, and we've learned a lot in our culture. I mean, we can split atoms and build skyscrapers and walk on the moon and do lots of things. But nobody knows about tomorrow. Not a single person. We can make predictions, but we don't know. We don't even know if we're going to be here. So it's to live, and we all have to acknowledge that we are ignorant about some things. That's why we want to acknowledge God in all things. Proverbs 27:1 says this, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth." We don't know. We're ignorant about tomorrow. We must include God. Dr. R.G. Lee, a great preacher, said, "Yesterday is the womb of time. Tomorrow is the tomb of time." And a lot of times I'll be watching something that, you know, maybe was that I saw when I was a kid, and I'll just look at it and I think, you know, all of those people that are in this show that I used to love so much as a boy and still enjoy now, they're all dead. You know, I like these westerns, you know. I like Bonanza and Big Valley and all that. And sometimes I just get to looking at them and I said, you know, all those guys are dead. They're all in eternity. And they lived there, and they died at different ages. You know, Hoss, you know, one of my favorite ones, he died young. And I remember when little Joe, you know, Michael Landon was on David Letterman one night, and he discovered he had the cancer. And he jumped down, did some one-handed push-ups, and was in excellent shape. And you know, of course, they cheered for him. He was loved, and that's a good thing for sure. But I remember he says, "I'm going to beat this." And I just sat there and watched him. I've been in the ministry long enough to know that, you know, I've seen some people get through it. Don't misunderstand. But I'm thinking, you know, look, Michael Landon, you're going into eternity pretty soon. And he did. And as I said before, we can't stay. You know, you've got a lifespan, and you can stay until that's over, and then you're leaving. And we don't know when that's going to happen. And that's why our plans should be prayed over, and our direction needs discernment, and our goals need God, because we're all, to some degree, ignorant about how important or how fragile life is. James continues his emphasis in verse 14. He said, "What's your life? It's like a vapor. It appears for a little time, then it vanishes away." I can't come to this verse without thinking about my little brother that I've told you about many times. And I'll make this quick. But this was the verse that Tim Lee sat in a wheelchair, an evangelist. Mark Milam told me later, said that Tim Lee was one that won him to the Lord. And but Tim Lee, great evangelist, had his legs blown off in Vietnam. My little brother was in a Christian school. He's 12 years old. And he stands up and he says, "I want to talk to you today about your life." And he gave him 3 points. He said, "Your life's very important, your life is passing, and your life is getting you ready for eternity." And he's preaching this to kids that are 12 years old and up. Is that a message you might pick out, you know, that you're going to tell these children that their life is passing? That usually doesn't resonate. When you're young like that, you feel bulletproof. You think they're talking about all the old people. But the Holy Spirit got a hold of my brother's heart, and he was convicted. And the fear of God came upon his soul. And he went home and he told my brother-in-law, he says, "I'm not saved. I need to be saved." And Jimmy knelt down with him and prayed and asked the Lord to save him. And he called me up, and he always called me Bubba. He said, "Bubba, I got saved." And I was so happy for him. And so then Sunday came around, and he came before the church, and he told the church, "Hey, I got saved." And it was homecoming day at the church, and I never forget, he hung around a while, and he only got to know Seth for 3 weeks, and he loved little kids. You know, he was excited about being Uncle Dale, you know, and he just loved babies and kids, and just a sweet boy in so many ways, and he'd love on them, and I never forget, he looked at me, he says, "Bubba, I'll see you tomorrow," and he went home, went to my dad's. And a terrible accident took place, and a fire went, you know, my dad was in an apartment in those days, and Dale was upstairs and fire broke out on the bottom and smoke came up and smoke inhalation got him, and he was dead within a couple of weeks. He was 12 years old. But thank God that the Holy Spirit showed him that his life was passing and his life was getting him ready for eternity. And I've never worried about him a day. I've missed him. I think about him often, but I just think about what it must be like when he passed over to the other side and he walked into glory land and he was delivered from this world of tribulation. But thank God that he understood that even as a boy, he was not arrogant or ignorant. He didn't have the heart of a fool. He realized that his life was passing and it was preparing him for eternity. And he didn't put it off. Thank God for that. I mean, I guess I've said a million hallelujahs to God that he was aware of that at such a tender age. You, my friend, don't need to live an arrogant life, making your plans without prayers and going your direction without God's discernment, having all your goals without God. Don't live ignorant. Know this, that you're one step. The next step you take, that could be it. Your heartbeat from eternity. I mean, it's closer than we think. Look at these passages here, and we'll just throw them all on the screen at the same time. This is what the Bible says about our life. Our days on earth are as a shadow. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. My life is a breath. My days are like a shadow that lengthens, and I wither away like grass. You know? And all of it speaks to brevity and fragility. You don't know when these things are going to happen, so you don't want to live with the heart of a fool. You say, well, I understand there's a God, but when we live with arrogance and we don't acknowledge our own ignorance, that humbles us and causes us to say, Lord, I'll do this if it's your will. I won't do that if it's not. To live opposite of that is to have the heart of a fool. And then a third thing is not only arrogance shows that we sometimes have the heart of a fool and ignorance when we don't acknowledge that God's will is paramount in our lives if we want to do things right, but disobedience. Disobedience sometimes when we do or we don't do what we should do, that's disobedience. Sometimes it's something we do that's in disobedience. Sometimes it's something that we fail to do that causes us to have disobedience. But when we do that, we're living like there's no God, like there's no accountability for that. We can do it our way. And this is what James warns us of. He's focusing in here on those things that we should be doing and that we don't do. He said, therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is a sin. He has been trying to emphasize how brief our life is. He's trying to teach us so we'll understand it the best we can, that we don't know a thing about tomorrow. We don't know how many more days we've got left. So those things that we've been putting off that we know that we should do, we need to understand that is an overt act of disobedience. It is in God's mind a sin. And to continue like that is the arrogance and the ignorance, the disobedience. It's all connected together. So I wonder what God may be saying to you about what you need to do that you haven't done yet. I wonder what he's been impressing on your heart. You need to get this done now. You need to get this settled now. You need to fix this, or you need to, maybe you need to be saved. Maybe you have been troubled about your salvation and you've never really come to Christ and fully acknowledged your need for him. You certainly need to do that while you can and while the Holy Spirit's drawing you. Because this is what the word says in John 3:18. He who believes in him is not condemned. The people that die without Christ and go to hell are the people that simply, it's not what they did, it's what they failed to do. He who believes in him is not condemned. The judgment of God has passed over. It's been punished at the cross for the believer. All of those sins that they've committed, God judged his son on the cross, and now all condemnation's been taken off the believing child of God. Romans 8:1, there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. So those who believe in him, they're not condemned. People don't go to hell for what they do. They go to hell for what they don't do. But he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That's the thing. That is the kind of disobedience that is the most dangerous thing you can do, and that is continue to put off what God is speaking to you about getting fixed now. Don't live life with the heart of a fool. To live so arrogantly that you don't include God in your life, or you don't think about him in your decisions. You don't bathe your plans in prayers. You don't seek his direction so you can have discernment. And whether it's the things you buy or sell or the things that you do or you don't do, it's all should be prayed about. The Lord should be considered to the point that we say, if it's the Lord's will and I live, I'll do this or I'll do that. Anything else, according to James, is evil boasting, and it displays a heart like a fool. Let's don't live that way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd help each of us to be more sensitive to what you want in our lives, and that the desires that we have and the plans that we make, that we'd stop long enough to consult you, to ask you, to seek your will. Lord, we're people that are in great, great need of your wisdom. When we live our lives without consulting you, Lord, we reveal a level of arrogance that I know must frustrate you. And so many of us go in directions that create great difficulty for our life when we fail to do that, whether it's in things we buy and sell or the things that we do or we don't do. God, remind us that you said that the path of the just is a burning and shining light that shines more and more to a perfect day, that the Lord is a lamp unto our feet and a light to our pathway. You want to help us walk in this world. And so, Lord, I pray that you take the message and glorify yourself and help your people. And if there's someone here tonight, Lord, that needs to call upon you now and seek your forgiveness and salvation, I pray they do it this very moment. In Jesus' name, amen.